Ode to Water. As a young family with lots of energy and no money, the Hagen family took to the highways and byways of BC for vacations under canvas in our provincial parks. We visited some fabulous places, but everywhere we visited had one thing in common: water. As the famous song the Sons of the Pioneers went, cool, clear water. There you are. Some people, older folks like me, remember that. It was a beautiful song. Nairn Falls near Pemberton, Champion Lakes near Trail, Wells Gray with the gorgeous Helmkin Falls and miles of Wilderness Lake. They were all gorgeous places, a getaway for canoeing, swimming, hiking, exploring. And at the end of the day, cool, clean water to quench your thirst and cook your food. Yep, we fortunate citizens of this province and this country take for granted that we'll always have enough water, whether it's surface or groundwater. In fact, some of you will say too much. For us, not the shortages, crises, and conflicts about water we hear about in other parts of the world, including our neighbors to the south. Don't you believe it? It is said that Canada has 21% of the world's fresh water, but only 7 or 8% of it is sustainable and accessible. Clean drinking water is a scarce and precious resource even here. Just talk to the native bands in isolated communities. But wait, all over the world, this public resource is being thought of as a commodity to be traded and sold for profit. I would argue that water should be maintained and managed as a public natural resource for the benefit of all. If I had time, I would cite painful examples of bad quality and exorbitant prices and terrible conflicts over water around the world for a profit. And with our present practices, we are starting to pollute our precious water with increasingly serious consequences. You know, some examples close to home: we used to swim at Deer Lake, no more. And even in English Bay, the bacterial count closed it down just recently. The bigger problems, like Lake Winnipeg, it has a nitrate-caused algae bloom that is killing the lake as a source of potable water and fish. And beautiful, pastoral Prince Edward Island is polluting its amazing, abundant aquifers with, guess what? Nitrates from farming potatoes. These are but two examples of many such practices that are not sustainable. Here, close to home, there are hundreds of applications for run-of-the-river projects to use our water, not for the benefit of the citizens of this province, but for bottom line profit. It is a really bad situation that is not known too much about. When most of these applications, 90% of them, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them, are for run-of-the-river projects that are under 50 megawatts, so they do not need to have environmental or ecological assessments, so they are home free to do this. Now, even citizens, local people, are denied access and ability to input where there are problems coming up. And it gets worse. The BC Hydro has been forced to buy the power that's being produced in run of the river with secret contracts that the public doesn't know about because they are so heinous in terms of the cost. One of the things that, for example, by the way, maybe you don't know what run-of-the-river power is basically power that is extracted from the flow of the water in the river, and then the water is returned to the river. And it's supposed to be of minor consequence to the river system itself. But there's all kinds of problems with road building, transmission lines, diversionary tunnels, dams. Don't let them tell you that there aren't dams. There's lots of them. Anyhow, BC Hydro has to buy this power before they can use their own, even though at the time of the year that this power is coming on stream, the reservoirs are full. Now, that wouldn't maybe be too bad, except Hydro is having to pay over 10 times as much for this power as their old reservoirs would provide. And guess who's paying for this? I will digress now and get on with finishing my story. Thank you. Water is a physical and spiritual resource for us in BC, and we are richly endowed. But we are also stewards of that water in our homes, communities, and country, even when it is abundant. Water is essential to life on our planet and to us. And Maud Barlow was seconded to the United Nations to spearhead an attack on the privatization concept for water, and they were successful in having water declared a human right. That doesn't make it accessible for so many of the world's people. But what I want to say in ending is that we as citizens have to accept our responsibility to ensure that our governments of all shapes and sizes be responsible in their use of our resources and make sure that a public resource is used for the public good. Thank you for your interest. And remember the first lines of our national anthem. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. And we have to start standing on guard for our water. Mm-hmm. And if you think I'm talking up my backside, and I know probably some people, I've got a pile of stuff that thick that I've accumulated about water. And so if you want to browse through it, get some of the dirty facts yourself, you're welcome to afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much. And we as Unit, Peter Morales is the president of the UUA, and he said, Unitarians are not identified by what we believe, but what we do. So we have a sixth principle about being part of the interconnected web of life, and this is part of what we do. Do we stand on guard for water? Do we stand on the side of love for clean and fresh water? Do we take opportunities to write, to vote, to cast our votes, to write to people, to let know where we stand in this matter? You be a Unitarian by what you do. Thank you, John. I love passionate Unitarians. You know, I never thought there was a passionate Unitarian. I thought they were all very cerebral and very thoughtful and so forth. But there are passionate Unitarians, and that's one of them right there. So take the opportunity to get some of that juice from John and take your stand as a Unitarian in this world as well. So I'm going to going now into the ritual for the ingathering water communion service. And these words that I'm reading for you were written by Eric M. Cherry. So these words are the meditation for this water ingathering, written by Eric M. Cherry. Thank you, Deborah, for sending me the link to the UUA website that gave me the resource for this ceremony. Guided by love, secured by hope, and made courageous by faith, we gather together at a moment of beginning, both learning and teaching, welcoming the injured and the healing. Ever justice seeking, we bless this church with our love, with pilgrims and seekers, growing children and cherished seniors, guided by pillars and by leaders, we bless this church with our hope, praying and resolving, trusting and involving, some settled, some evolving, we bless this church with our faith. Let us receive our ingathering as a gift. May it inspire renewed commitment to our great covenant of love, hope, and faith, And may our eyes be opened to opportunities for broad ministry within, throughout, and beyond. And may the blessings we come to know through that vision be a blessing to the world. Amen. May we sit in silence for 1 minute. So all year long in my refrigerator, I kept this little jar of water from last year this time when we mingled our waters together. And here we are again. So if you brought water, this is your job as a man, is to open jars. Thank you. If you brought water, you're going to be invited to come up and share it. You can just pour it in if you like. You can just come in and stir the waters. You can pour some water from the pitchers that are here. And you can say some words or not, as you will. And then at the end of this, we'll regather the new waters, put them back in the fridge. We gather in community to worship at a corner of our year as a church, and this morning we carry love and hope and courageous faith and seek to renew our covenantal commitments. We remind ourselves of the home we share, a home that we come back to, whether after a long or short absence, a home we welcome all to make their own, a home of love and hope and faith. Come, let us gather within. As we gather ritually this morning, carrying gifts of our summer, symbols of the water that have been present with us and which has been present to us all. These symbols may call to mind light summer showers or thunderstorms or dewy mornings and misty evenings, or moments at ocean sides, pool sides, riversides, lakesides, swimming, fishing, hiking, strolling, or rivers of tears. And who we were with while there, even if we were alone. We reflect upon what we brought with us to these moments and places, but more so what spiritual, emotional, or other baggage we carried with us and what we did with it while we were in these watery places. Perhaps the ties to spiritual companions throughout the world come closer and clearer, bringing to mind monsoon rains that our UU partners in the Philippines and India know, or the churning ocean that UUs in Tierra del Fuego know, or the rivers and valleys of Transylvania or Kenya, Uganda, Burundi. What brings these companions like us to the water, and what does the water bring to them? How glorious, how sacred, how peaceful. Let us rest and rely on that truth. That water binds us all, joins us all, touches us all, flows in us all. And now I invite you to come forward and share the water that you have carried with you. Terry, could I ask you to go get some paper towels from one of the washrooms, just in case somebody spills some. Thank you. Please come forward if you brought some water to share. A jug of water.
This is water from the Bowron Lakes, filtered for our drinking, although it's been sitting for a month now. Four of us took off in... with various obstacles along the way, from a cortisone shot several days beforehand to another person having a bladder infection, getting IV antibiotics. So three 60-year-olds and a daughter.
Brave 30-year-old.
Her daughter. Yeah. How many weeks after her wedding?
Two or three.
So we did the Bowron Lakes. And I see this as a return for me to my soul country, the wilderness, and I haven't been able to do for several years now. And it was a way to connect and reconnect with friends as well. So a good week.
Yeah, very much so. Do you want to pour a bit more in? No, I'm good. Pass it to the next water person.
This represents the water from all the streams, waterfalls, and glaciers in the Rockies that I visited, especially the ones that the dogs dipped their paws in and sipped.
This is some virtual water, which represents the water that's in our fridge that we collected from the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, I'm a real water person, so this represents not only the water from Lake Cowichan, which was where the women's camp is, was this summer, and Audrey and I were there, but also the water of Burrard Inlet, because I kayak on it often and walk past it. I try and get down every day to that water. And the pools that I swim in and do aquafit in, every day I am on or in the water if I possibly can be.
That's a representation of the water from the St. Lawrence River in front of Iroquois, Ontario, where Anita and I visited with my brother and sister-in-law this summer. And this is a squirt to represent the beautiful swimming water and of Trois Lacs in Quebec, where my son lives. So, not the most joyful vacation this year because of illness, but still wonderful memories of those places.
Well, here's to a resource that's both nurturing and dangerous.
And this represents the waters I paddled in this summer. Porpoise Bay, Chateauguay River in Quebec, and Alouette River and the Pitt River.
Yeah, this is just some water from the local swimming pool in the Maple Ridge Leisure Center where I went swimming.
I'm thinking of the beautiful water in the Shuswap River that flows by my sister's house. I stayed there for quite a while and went swimming every day. The water is like a blessing. It's really healing, and I feel happy when I'm in that water.
This is water from my garden hose. It's representative of the water that nourished the vegetable garden and the flowers, the dahlias that are hopefully still blooming in October, and the richness that come from harvesting the vegetables.
This is water from the pool in our complex that I've been able to enjoy a few times, and it's almost like having a private swimming pool because you can go in and there's nobody else there, so it's really wonderful.
Well, I bring you two things of representative water this morning. The first is representative of water from the St. Lawrence River and the Bay of Fundy and the many rivers that my daughter and I saw in New Brunswick on our travels through the Maritimes this year. I think I can use the same because they're representative. The second is from Jean Donaldson, a representative of the water from the Halifax Harbor where she is sailing today.
This represents a little water from the Fraser River where I spent the last week. And the lead up through the spring and summer of me whining, yelling, crying and complaining about her hauling me, Katie hauling me down to the local paddling clubs were getting me back into paddling shape.
Of all the days in the summer, this past Thursday, it was pouring.
Yes.
And Sean and Lara and I kayaked into Indian Arm, where Beryl and I have been paddling many times. Happy memories are there all over. Whichever way you can paddle. So there was water coming. We were sitting on the water. It came down from all sides and mixed with our tears as we released Barrel's ashes into Indian Arm. We know that the tide and the currents will spread it over as far as it can from there. It was very high tide at that moment. And I'm sure that the very low tide that would follow would have taken them far away. And if you ever go into Indian Arm, think of him too, and think of happy memories that we have had there.
This water represents the ocean on our west coast, which holds the last 82 southern resident whales, killer whales, which I hope we can all help save. And I think it's really hard when there's so many people working at the oil sands in Alberta, so many of our friends and relatives, to discourage them from doing so because they all think it's so important for their own needs to earn that money. But somehow we've got to start turning around the importance of working there and instead focus on saving our West Coast water, which is so precious to us, this ocean. Thank you.
This water is representative of many places. First, water that fell on us at Wimbledon when we played tennis there. Actually, it fell after we played, so that was quite much appreciated, an amazing experience. Then water in Turin, where I won the world championship.
Yay! bravo!
And if you try to swim in Italy, people don't send swim in Italy. So we went, this is from Lake Avigliana, where we tried to swim, but we were warned about duck itch, so we didn't swim there. Then there was the pond in Bordeaux at our friend's chateau, where we stayed and enjoyed all the vineyards there. There is wine in France, lots of good wine. And then the beaches of Normandy, which was quite exciting. And I recommend the Juno Beach Museum to everybody. The Canadian Museum's only been there 10 years, but it's fabulous and well worth the trip. And then the most important water is the water at Camp Good Times, where my grandson went as a cancer survivor. He's now 3 and he's cancer-free, so best news of all. Anybody else?
Shall I pour some water for you, Dennis?
Yes, please. I have no water.
Well, you should see a doctor.
But I'm very grateful for water if it brings together this community, of which I am so grateful to be a member. I'm so happy that we have come together again, no water or no water, because I miss Beacon during the summer.
Thank you so much. Couldn't say it better myself. And I will add a bit of water from Lost Creek in southern Missouri, which was named by my great-great-grandfather. And the Sparlin family gathered there, and the little kids were playing in the creek and catching crawdads and having a good time.